A yellow bubble letter mobile hangs in a wire speech bubble, rotating on a thread before a white wall. Pathé, exclamation mark. The letters turn and their shadow is replaced by that of a cockerel. White block letters rotate in a 3D space against a black background. BBC Film. Pathé and BBC Film present an Ecos Films production in co-production with Film E Vast and Filmgate Films. The surface of a roiling sea, grey flecked with white foam. A small wave flops forwards and hisses over shining pebbles. Beneath a grey sky, a pier stretches out over the water, a line of coloured beach huts arranged upon it, a cliff rising in the distance. An old man's walking stick presses into the shingle. He stands, out of focus, facing the sea, his dark grey coat flapping in the wind. White hair sprouting from beneath his flat cap, seen from in front, framed against a curved portion of the promenade. Bernie is an elderly white man in his late 80s. His sea-coloured eyes stare out from a lined face over the ocean. He watches the white-flecked peaks of the small waves roll in and break against the shore. Close up on Bernie's face, slipping in and out of focus, his eyes searching, his expression pensive. The view pans around him, across the shingle, some blue deck chairs flapping in the wind, before the covered promenade, the tall houses of the seafront above, and strapped to the railing above the promenade's rotunda, a banner that reads, D-Day, 70 years. The title appears above the sea's horizon, The Great Escaper. Beneath it, Bernie's figure dwarfed by the wide beach and vast ocean. Bernie waits behind two cyclists at a seafront coffee stall.
Two cappuccinos, two baker sarnies, Mick. Keep the change.
James? Andy? No.
I don't think I've ever seen you with cash in your hand.
Oh, here he is!
Hey, hey.
What don't you call this?
You boys on!
A third cyclist rides in front of Bernie, jumping the queue.
Three of everything, Mick.
You didn't wait for me coming up the dike, did you?
Where have you been?
Cheers, mate.
He dismounts his bike and joins his friends at a nearby table.
Cup of tea and four sugars, please.
At the Pines retirement home, an old man with a nasal cannula is wheeled by a nurse up the drive. Bernie catches up with them on his Rolliter.
You've gained a bit of weight, Harold.
Bernie overtakes Harold with a grin, wheeling his Rolliter up the drive towards the front door, passing a smiling elderly resident led by the arm by a nurse.
All right, dear?
Thank you.
You enjoying it?
Another resident sits on his Rolliter's seat, smoking a cigar by the front door. Inside, Bernie leaves his Rolliter in the porch and carries a plastic bag into the corridor. Passing a glass Investors in People plaque on the wall, he sets down his bag and takes off his cap, then looks into the common room.
Edith!
A woman in an armchair.
There you are.
Where did you think I'd be?
I hadn't seen you for days.
What?
I thought you were dead.
Oh. Morning, Bernie. Nice walk.
Edith frowns. Adele, a smiling young black nurse, passes Bernie carrying a tray. Now Bernie is slowly and carefully climbing the stairs. His feet plod along the blue carpet from the landing into a corridor and up to the door of his apartment, where a mat says, "Welcome." He opens the door and goes in, steadying himself on a handrail. He enters the living room, which has a small kitchenette, and sets down his bag on the table. There are magnolia-painted walls, net curtains, and unassuming furniture. Using a walking stick, Bernie crosses the room and opens the bedroom door.
Hen, did you happen to see...
Oh, whoa. Hold your horses.
What's wrong?
Nothing, only I haven't got my face on.
I've seen it without.
1973. It's not happening again.
He's only gone and got the big bowl.
Ooh.
He had a load of new gear in. Black Forest Gatto he's got. We can't have that, of course, because it's German.
Oh, Bernie.
Well, if you want to flog chocolate bars, don't start a bloody world war.
OK, it's safe. You can come in.
Bernie places a large bar of dairy milk on the chest of drawers. Rini sits before the dresser, applying her makeup with a hand mirror, wearing a fuchsia dressing gown. Later, Bernie stares through the net curtains over the living room balcony doors, over the rooftops, and out to the sea.
Right, as soon as we've had some grub, I'll take you for a spin along the front. When we get back, we'll play a bit of whist, and I think they've got a male stripper for you.
What?
Reenie appears in the door.
I made that last bit up.
Fully clothed, she hobbles out of the bedroom with difficulty.
You all right?
No, I'm not. I'm blooming old. Oof.
She slumps into an armchair.
Oh.
And Bernie brings her sweeteners.
Here you go.
Oh.
He kisses her.
Thank you.
Atop her side-parted grey-brown hair. She points with her stick to a photo on the mantelpiece.
Bernie, what's that?
Oh, you've seen it. It's Torremolinos.
Well, I know that. What's he doing there?
It was a happy holiday. Do you remember the donkey? His name was Pedro, and he took a real shine to you.
His name was Manuel, the donkey. Pedro was the owner, and he it was who took a shine to me.
Ah. Come in, unless you're bailiffs.
Did they put something in your tea in that calf this morning?
Hey, Reenie, how you doing?
Oh, very well, thank you, Judith.
Well, it's a good timing. I just made some tea. You want a cup?
Oh, I'd love one, Bernie, but we got an inspection.
Ooh.
You can't say I didn't make you an offer. Now, what can we do you for?
I rang them straight away. I'm really sorry, Bernie. We left it too late.
Bernie's eyes fall.
Left what? What are you on about?
The trip to the beaches. D-Day.
Bernie?
Judith is blonde, in her 40s.
Well, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I should have got more organised. They do a very good show here.
Reenie frowns.
I'll go there instead. Eh? Thank you for trying.
Yes, thank you, Judith.
No props.
Bye.
See you later.
Bernie's smile fades. His lip trembles, then regains his composure, turning to Reenie.
Right. Brew, then beach. Eh?
Clear skies above the promenade.
We're lucky to get a sunny day.
Thinking about the wind, I bet.
Yeah.
Bernie pushes Reenie's chair along the seafront.
But the wind's not that cold, if you know.
A path is paved in alternating red and white squares. A white handrail separates them from the beach. Reenie gestures out over the ocean. At home in the living room, Bernie sits with a box on his lap, leafing through old letters. He's in his dressing gown, sitting on a chair by the side cabinets. He sets the box of letters aside, then reaches down to the cabinet and picks up another box of memorabilia. Lifting up a few more enveloped letters and some photographs, he comes across a small square package wrapped in faded brown newspaper. He hides it in his dressing gown.
Oh.
Hello, love.
Reenie appears in the door.
You're right.
Fine.
I didn't disturb you, did I?
Oh, no, no. I was awake.
Oh.
Taking me pills. Oh, now what are you grabbing out of there?
No, I'm putting them back.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll do the rest in the morning.
Oh.
Can't seem to settle.
Reenie sits down.
I should have had a rum.
Just go.
To France?
Why not?
Well, you can't. They make it up into one big trip. That's the way they set it all up. You can't do it on your own.
But you would.
I couldn't leave you all on your own.
But I'm not on my own. I've got nurses around me all
day. That's not the point. Your health has not been great lately, and now is no time for me to go charging off for an adventure.
Unless you have to.
Bernie stares at Reenie incredulously as she gets up and shuffles back to the bedroom. Seen through the bedroom door, he leans forward to watch her go back to the bed. He's lost in thought now, mouth agape. Reenie is asleep now, in a bedroom that's dimness is split by a sliver of morning sun. A shadow crosses over the light. Bernie reaching down to take his watch from the bedside table between their two single beds. Fully clothed and carrying a blue plastic bag and walking stick, he shuffles out of the apartment. Close up on him crossing over the threshold onto the landing. The door closing behind him, he begins to descend the stairs. He backs away around the landing to hide from people who pass beneath. There are two male nurses in the office. One walks past the bottom of the stairs carrying a clipboard. Bernie is stood on the stairs in the shadows. He checks the coast is clear while the other nurse is distracted. And soon he is shutting the front door behind him. Now he's walking with his rollator down the seafront road. He approaches a bus stop as the bus begins to pull in. It's a blue single-decker to Dover. He's about to board when he sees coming off the bus.
Thank you.
The girl.
Bernie.
She's out of uniform, looking tired.
Early walk this morning.
Yes. See you later.
Yeah. See you later.
Bernie turns away from the closing bus doors and hobbles off down the road. He turns to look at Adele walking away in the opposite direction. She, in turn, glances over her shoulder at him. Bernie looks at his wrist, where he's wearing two watches, an analogue and a digital. Now he is back at the bus stop, before a curved concrete white bus shelter with benches in bays. He looks at the complicated route map.
Blimey.
Then, worriedly, down the road, he raises his hand and waves. Soon, Bernie is in a taxi, zooming along a narrow coastal road, bordered by long yellow grasses that fall away over the seaside cliffs. Bernie stares out the window, sunlight flashing over his face. He's wearing his dark grey coat, a blue shirt, and a dark green tie striped with white bands. Meanwhile, Rini stirs in bed. She blinks hard and sits up with difficulty, leaning over to her bedside table, then lying back in bed. She begins to sit up again, then starts when she sees Bernie's bed beside hers is empty. Hers is a care home bed, and his is an ordinary one. Head on a swivel, she searches the room in surprise. Meanwhile, Bernie is wheeling his rollator towards the entrance of the ferry terminal. He passes a marquee decorated with bunting of Union Jacks and French tricolour. A sign reads, "Welcome Veterans."
Final call for the A15 there in the Wheatstone. All passengers, please. A15 final call.
He follows a small group of veterans wearing their military hats into the terminal. He follows a white railing beyond which is a blue sea. The sea, strangely still, turns out to be a massive photograph. He rides an escalator up. A massive sign reads, "Welcome, Dover." Veterans in jackets bedecked with medals pass by. A young uniformed black man brings a wheelchair to Bernie.
Are you lost, sir? Would you like a ride?
Oh, don't mind if I do.
The man walks with a limp.
I'm a veteran myself, actually, helping out for the weekend. Keeps me out of mischief.
Yeah.
So is it all right if I have a little look at your ticket?
Yeah.
So wait, so you're standing the whole way?
Yeah.
You don't have a seat?
I couldn't get a seat.
Well, in that case, I suggest you get hammered at the bar.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, get legless, like me.
Oh.
Yeah, I trod on a mine in Helmand 5 years ago.
You trod on a mine?
I've only had a new peg 6 months.
Blimey.
Who are you with, by the way?
Royal Navy, Leading Seaman.
Yeah.
Sparks.
Bernard Jordan.
Scott wheels Bernie down the gangplank tunnel. Rini is at home.
Jam?
With a nurse.
Sorry?
Fancy a bit of jam?
Ooh, yes, please.
Hey, how are you getting on? Both of you been in here? You got enough space?
Well, I have. But then I'm tidy. Just look at the mess he's left down there. Oh, thank you. I still think he shouldn't have done it. I have to be here because of the nursing, but he could have stayed in the house for a little bit longer.
He misses you.
Oh.
Well, he told me.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he anyway?
Sorry?
Bernie.
Oh! He's out.
Oh, my, how delicious. Mm.
OK, that's you. Well,
done. You've got your dough set box for later.
Uh-huh.
I'm out of here.
Okie-dokie.
He shuts his pill trolley.
See you later, Renee.
Bye for now.
The young white man in nurse's blues leaves. Sat in her armchair, Renee reaches up her sleeve and pulls out a small, age-stained black-and-white photograph. Mm. She looks at it with fondness. It's Bernie as a young man, uniformed and standing to attention on board ship.
You right there? This way.
Bernie wheels his rollator into the ferry bar. It's full of veterans and decorated with Union Jack bunting.
Ceremony's tomorrow.
The music is being performed by a singing group, the Candy Girls. They are dressed in 40s uniforms with hair and makeup to match. They stand before a backdrop of glistening red, white and blue tinsel curtains. Bernie approaches, passing veterans in dress uniform jackets laden with medals, all holding drinks. Bernie looks about, at first uncertain, but taking in the joyous scene, soon breaks into a smile, pulling off his coat, revealing his own dress uniform jacket and medals. Bernie looks about and finds himself a seat by the window. He drains his whiskey glass, then looks down at the hand holding it, uncontrollably shaking. He steadies it with his other hand. His lip begins to tremble, and he sets the glass down, staring through the window with a somewhat panicked expression. Flashback to onboard the D-Day lander. Young Bernie slams into the bulkhead, lowering the bow ramp, a tank disembarking onto the beach.
You all right?
A veteran stands near Bernie.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Man should be able to do certain things in peace. I was worried. You seemed in a spot of bother.
No, I'm OK. I ain't got me sea legs yet. And I'm ex-Navy.
Oh, so Arthur Howard Johnson. It's a bit of a mouthful, I know.
Bernie Jordan, pleased to meet you.
They shake.
Would you like another? I was just going to the bar. Unless you want to get up onto the deck, deal with the rest.
No thanks, Tony. But, OK.
He points to Arthur's glass, and Arthur retreats to the bar. Bernie's eyes drift back to the window, unfocused into the middle distance. His expression frightened, his lip trembling, zoom in on his worried face.
Oh.
At home in the bedroom, with a stepladder raised up on piles of books, Renee is attempting to tidy away the scattered photographs. She returns to the bed, littered with memorabilia, and sits down next to an open antique vinyl record box.
Definitely not you.
She sorts through the records.
Ooh.
Then notices a black and white photo.
Fifi.
The young couple with a dark poodle dog.
Oh. Oh, my word, look at you. Marvellous.
A colour photo sitting in deck chairs.
Hang on.
A record titled The Swing Era.
Fifi, you've helped me find it. Oh, you are a wonder and a whiz. Here we go.
She winds up an antique record player and carefully lowers the needle, throwing up her hands in glee as the music begins to play. She steps back, clapping, and begins to shuffle into a dance, turning in circles before the record player. She appears lost in the music for a while, then pauses. With a sigh, she tips back her head and enters a memory. Bright lights beam down from a dance hall ceiling, flaring in the view. Bernie grabs Renee by the hand and turns her about the dance floor, surrounded by other dancing couples. Renee wears a blue cardigan and a yellow dress. She has long, blonde, wavy hair. Bernie, in sailor's uniform, shouts up at the conductor.
Come on! The double! It's like a graveyard in here, it's that slow!
Too slow, you cheeky fire! Right, come on, boys!
Bernie grips Renee's hand with a grin as she begins to hop towards him, tossing her hair.
Come on!
They swing their arms round and she turns. Bernie runs about her, then leaps, and they both land in a crouch. Greeny does a double spin into Bernie's arms, then jumps into his lap, kicking back her legs. He holds her aloft in an embrace, then gently lowers her to the ground. They gaze into each other's faces.
I want to take you somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I mean, only if you want to. It was just this place,
you know,
so
I'll go anywhere with you. Anywhere at all.
She wears bright red lipstick and has clear blue eyes. Bernie beams, his forehead glistening with sweat. They place their heads together. She puts her hand about his neck, taking a deep breath. Back in Reenie's bedroom in the care home, she's still dancing.
Hold on!
She takes the needle off the record.
Come in.
Adele is standing in the doorway.
Bloody hell. You've been burgled. All this stuff everywhere, which is a trip hazard, actually. You really cleared that all away.
Somebody got out of bed on the wrong side this morning, if she was in bed at all. Ooh, you've got very dark circles under your eyes.
Adele writes on her clipboard.
Tea downstairs tonight or up here?
Up here?
Same for Bernie?
Well, now. I don't know, because he's not back yet.
Really?
She crosses the room with her stick.
Well, tell him to ring Daniel, yeah, once he's decided.
Will do, will do.
Right then, Reenie, I've got to get round to the rest of him. Oh.
Oh.
Reenie staggers by the bed.
Oof. You all right, Reenie?
Oh. Oh, it's nothing. Just a twinge.
Oof. Nice one. Sit down, you shouldn't be standing.
Oh.
Adele helps her onto the bed.
Oh, I'm all right. I've got pills and more pills.
The doctor, he's on his rounds. I'll go get him.
Adele, you're panicking.
Oh. On the ferry...
Thank you.
Bernie counts out money from his wallet into a waiter's hand. Arthur sits across from him.
So who have you come with, Bernie? An association or...?
No, no. I'm on my own. I was a bit late. I told you I was Navy. You never said a word.
RAF, Bomber Command. I was in Halifax towing the gliders over, poor buggers, and then straight back to the day job of bombing Caen. I came across four times in the end and flattened it.
I could never have gone that high. I get giddy in the top of a bus.
Well, up there was a damn sight safer than down where you were. What about afterwards? What did you do then? I was a schoolmaster at one of England's finest public schools. Can you believe?
Oh, I can believe it. With your accent, you could cut glass. How many times have you been to France?
No, this is my first go, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
Arthur wears glasses and has thin white hair on top. He's dressed smartly in jacket and jumper, but not wearing any uniform. He looks out the window with a worried expression, then smiles at Bernie.
Actually, if you'll excuse me, I think I need to indulge in another of the indignities of old age.
Arthur gets up and shuffles away unaided. Bernie watches him go, a blue plastic carrier bag at his side. He reaches for his drink. There are several empty glasses on the table. A doctor has Reenie's finger in a heart rate monitor.
It's fine. It's angina.
Oh.
We know you get that.
The pain's all gone. I feel like a fraud.
Reenie, I'm going to prescribe you some glycerin pills.
Oh.
If you get any more discomfort, slip one under your tongue and let it dissolve, OK?
Fine.
If you're worried, get someone to call me.
Oh.
She's sitting propped up in bed now. The doctor gathers his things. He's young, with olive skin, dark hair and a beard.
You mustn't overdo it, Reenie.
With respect, Doctor, a couple of weeks ago you were telling me to make the most of my time. That was you, wasn't it?
The doctor frowns.
Of course. I understand.
Thank you.
The male nurse is with Judith.
Tried the cafe on the front, the shop on Lansdowne, the Red Lion. Nobody's seen him.
So where is he? He's almost 90. He can't have gone far.
You're talking about Bernie?
Yeah.
It's Adele.
He's going to want to be with her if she's not feeling well, but he's disappeared off the face of the earth.
He's in Brighton.
They're in the corridor.
What? That's where he was headed. Out of Hove and when I bumped into him.
You bumped into him?
Yeah.
At what time?
5:45, about.
5:45? And you didn't think to say anything until now?
Well, I didn't know you was looking for him until now, did I?
Oh, how's she doing, Doctor? Is everything OK?
Yeah. She's resting. And she ought to take it easy for the next couple of days.
They all look back at Reenie's door.
Keep an eye on that, will you? Mm. Good. In which case, I better get back to the others.
Martin, Bernie, no mention, OK? Last thing Reenie needs now is any extra stress. Oh, and you, come with me.
Where are we going?
To follow protocol.
Judith and Adele descend the stairs.
Come on.
Bernie is on the deck of the ferry. He's standing, holding onto the handles of his rollator, looking over the gunwale and out over the sea. The cliffs of Dover are a white line just visible behind him. And ahead, the yellow beaches of France. An expression of terror crosses his face. A grainy, vignetted, binocular view of the beach. Explosions and fire erupting around dark shapes moving across the sand. Bernie lowers the binoculars. He grimaces, holding on, raindrops pouring and dripping off his helmet. Close up on his young blue eyes, then back to his aged face, stood on the deck of the ferry. Veterans, all elderly white men, some wearing berets, mill about with drinks. One leads another from a table over to the view of the port, the terminal, tall cranes, a lighthouse, and Calais in the distance.
We've reached Calais. Hey. Double.
Scott salutes some stragglers.
Come on. Hey. Double.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Come on. It's over, son.
He waves them off the deck back into the ferry to disembark.
We'll fight him on the beaches.
Bernie is watching from an upper deck. Left alone, Scott appears to have a bad turn. Bernie watches with concern. Arthur appears at Bernie's side.
There you are.
He's got Bernie's carrier bag.
Sorry,
no,
Arthur.
No, 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 it's fine, honestly. I've just been hanging on to this. It's all your worldly. Listen, do you have anywhere to stay over here?
No.
No, no, it's fine. Honestly, that's why I'm asking. You could chug along with us. That's my lot over there. It'll be no bother at all.
But that's very kind of you, but cash-wise...
We've loads of room on the coach, and I'm in a twin that's already paid for, so you wouldn't have to spend a penny. And in any case, I think I wouldn't mind a bit of company, Bernie, if I'm honest, if that's all right with you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, let's get out of here.
Back at the care home, Judith is talking to a police officer.
I'm sure he's OK. It's just after 9 hours. We have to, you know...
Oh, no, no, no. You've done the right thing. But I'll get these details circulated and we'll issue a tweet as well. It can be very effective.
Adele watches.
We've got the photo. That's the key thing. I'll get this out to the patrols. Perhaps I'll give the hospital a call. You know, just so they're in the loop. You know, just in case.
The police get into their squad car. Other residents crane their necks. Arms crossed, Judith turns back to the front door, looking askance at Adele as she passes. Adele's shoulders slump. Now she's in Reenie's flat.
Reenie? Reenie?
She enters the empty bedroom and looks around.
Reenie!
Here!
Reenie emerges in the foreground.
Where were you?
Under the bed, looking for something, and I found it pressing.
What?
It's a flower head. I've pressed it.
You're supposed to be taking it easy, not rummaging around.
Well, I'm fine.
I'm just trying to keep my eye on the ball at all times.
Very good. Very, very good.
In any case, I bought you something.
Ooh.
She lifts the lid on a plate before Reenie's armchair.
Fish and chips.
Oh, what the hell? Oh, that's so lovely. Where's Bernie's? Will Martin bring his up later?
Adele looks guilty.
Oh, your face, lovely. Your face. I'm pulling your leg. Bernie? Oh, he's gone AWOL. Well, everybody knows, but nobody's talking about it because they're afraid it'll finish me off. I haven't said anything about it either because I want to make sure he has enough time to get there.
She pulls the table close.
To get where? Where is he?
He's in France.
Well, what the bloody hell's he doing there?
He is attending the D-Day commemorations.
But that was full. There was no room on the trip.
Ah, but he made his own way.
At 90?
Mm-hmm.
All the way across the channel.
Well, he has done it before. Only then, of course, they were shooting at him.
I do not believe this. I've been feeling so guilty that I didn't check in the morning. I even bought you a large fish, Reenie. That's how bad I was feeling.
Oh.
Adele turns and marches from the room.
Hey-ho.
As Reenie tucks into her fish and chips. On the street, a policeman has a photo of Bernie on his phone.
Yeah, go ahead, Vicky.
It's OK. He's safe. The station's just been on. He's in France.
What?
He's in France.
He meets another officer on a street lined with pubs.
He's a D-Day veteran, apparently. Couldn't get himself on a trip, so he just legged it over there on his own. Except he never bothered telling anyone.
Oh, good lad. Life in the old dog yet, eh?
Oh, Sarge wants me to tweet a stand down. What should I put?
Well, that. He's a war hero, wanted to do the right thing, only he couldn't, so he did a runner instead. From his old folks' home. Hashtag the great escaper.
The smiling, mixed-race female officer taps out a message on her phone. Bernie is drinking a cup of tea in Arthur's hotel room. Arthur is hanging his clothes in the closet. He gives Bernie the thumbs up, tossing his passport on the side and closing his suitcase. Bernie gets to his feet and drops the contents of his plastic bag, toothbrush, passport and one item of clothing into another closet.
It's me done.
They shut their closet doors and look at each other. Arthur beams. Outside the hotel.
There's an organised trip going off from here to a museum or some exhibition, if you fancy that.
No, I'm taking a walk on the beach.
Oh.
Yeah.
The sword. Right?
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Great. See you later, then.
I'll see you then.
The cafe-lined street is busy with veterans.
Bonjour.
Arthur watches Bernie shuffle away down the pedestrianised street. Bunting of Union Jack, French and Canadian flags crosses over their heads. Bernie passes a long table of veterans, all eating and drinking. One turns to greet him with a smile. They sit before a banner depicting paratroops landing. Now Bernie stands before a plaque that reads Sword Beach. It has four large arrows fastened to it, all pointing towards the beach, labelled Oboe, Peter, Queen and Roger. Bernie runs his trembling hand down the Peter arrow to the beach, depicted in a three-dimensional relief. He looks out at the beach before him, framed against the long grass-tufted dunes behind him. Tiny figures walk about on the vast sand flats. The blue ocean above it, a strip of yellow sunlight, and a grey bank of cloud above. An American veteran walks past, arm in arm with his wife. Another wears a New York garrison cap, staring out over the ocean. The sun is beginning to set, shining orange through the banks of cloud. A line of veterans in military caps gaze out across the sands to the sea. Bernie, almost silhouetted now in the fading light, hobbles on his walking stick towards the water's edge. The end of his stick sinks into the wet sand. The view pans up his tall frame, his coat flapping in the wind. He watches the small waves roll in lines of white foam. The view approaches him from behind and shifts focus. Bernie, eyes wide, searches the water. Flashback, smoke in the lander, the footage blue and shaking, tank tracks rolling onto the beach. Present-day Bernie looks scared. The view pulls out, circling about his silhouette, stood on the wet sand, reflecting the fiery light of dusk. The view turns behind him and rises up towards the water. It sails out over the sea. Flashback to the lander. Bernie and the young army man, Douglas, grab a hold of the front of the tank.
Hey, mate! We can't land in this, can we?
What the bloody hell are you asking me for, huh?
Well, because you've been here before! Hey, you! You know, with the first lot! How'd they get on?
Young Bernie freezes. The young army officer stares at him in slow motion.
Piece of piss. We went off like clockwork. They do plan these things, you know.
The plane soars overhead, flying over the control cabin at the stern of the boat. A close-up, woozy view of Bernie staggering back from the beach. His surroundings are all out of focus as he leans heavily on his rollator. A grey-haired woman rushes up to him.
Oh. Monsieur.
And takes his hand.
What?
Merci, monsieur. Merci.
Merci.
Bernie! Bernie! Over here!
Arthur waves from a table.
Come on in.
In front of a beachside bar. He's sitting with a group of American veterans.
Ça va bien, monsieur.
Merci.
Bernie sits down with them.
So how'd you get on? Okay.
Fine.
Arthur is sitting with a bottle of red wine.
Of course. Well, you're here now. Have a drink. Oh, our American friend, Marshall, rather fitting, has kindly offered to provide the whole table with wine for the entire evening.
I'm very tired.
Well, stay. It'll do you good, old man. Gentlemen, this is my friend Bernie.
Royal Navy!
They raise their caps and Bernie waves back.
The world is always more palatable when seen through a glass, Bernie. Mm.
Judith and Adele are with Reenie at home.
The point is that in the end, everything turned out for the best.
Oh, yeah. Once someone's tracked Bernie down in France and made sure he's all right.
Bernie is a very resourceful man. Oh, and by the way, Adele, that fish was lovely. Bernie would be very upset not to have had it. Mind you, I can just picture him now tucking into a plate full of snails, eh, Judith?
Judith exits with a scowl.
Ooh.
You're wind up, you are.
Oh, come on. She's much too serious. She needs to relax, otherwise she'll make herself poorly.
Let's get you changed. I've got your bed ready.
Adele has a skull tattoo.
What's that on your arms?
Don't you like them?
Well, if you were going to work in a fairground, yes, but what does your mother think about them? What does she say?
I don't think she's even noticed.
Adele draws the curtains and Reenie sighs. Back at the bar.
To which she said, I'm terribly sorry, Vicar, you're referring to the aeroplane. That fucker. I thought it meant something else entirely. Here, have another olive. It'll soak up the booze.
Bernie looks weary.
9 o'clock. Who goes to bed at 9 o'clock? Only the randy and the infirm, that's who.
Really?
What? Your lot didn't invent it, you know. Oof. Ow.
What are you doing?
Oh, my knee exercises. Bernie helps me with them, but of course, he's not here.
Do you want me to have a go?
Oh, Adele, would you? That would be wonderful. Just pull the knee up a bit. Oh, and then I'll put it down.
Like this?
Oh, perfect. Oh. In the war, if I was going to a dance, I'd shave my legs, and then I'd get a load of damp tea leaves, wrap them in muslin, and then dab all that over the legs. Gave them extra colour.
Like a self-tan.
Exactly. Only you had to be careful, because if you got hot and started sweating, then you'd find yourself jiving in a pool of PG tips. Oh, thank you, that's enough. Oh, Adele, Adele, Adele.
Reenie leans forward and takes Adele by the hand.
You are a really good girl.
Then caresses her cheek. Adele looks awkward.
Oh, I'm just glad the day's ended like it has. Everything all right, like you said.
Yeah.
She pulls back Reenie's duvet.
Thank you.
Right, well, see you tomorrow.
Listen, when you go home, get a teaspoon, put it in the icebox, then use it to press out those bags under your eyes. They'll disappear. And nobody will ever know you've been on the lash all night. Oh, come on. Do you think I popped out of the womb 150 years ago?
Adele leaves. Rini strains to reach over and turn off the bedside light.
Hey-ho.
Back at the bar, Arthur gets to his feet.
Gentlemen, we're going off to do some drill. And thank you so much.
Pleasure.
See you all tomorrow.
Take care now.
Monsieur, it's time to go.
I don't know why you're making such a fuss.
It's time to go, monsieur.
Scott leaves the bar.
No, monsieur.
He tries to re-enter.
Not
hey,
after.
Hey, Bernard.
Hang on, what's the problem?
Nothing. I just want another drink.
No, monsieur. It's closed now.
Miserable bastard.
Fine.
You sortez.
It's all right, it's one of us. We'll handle it.
Why didn't you just sit down?
What are you looking at?
They're doing nothing.
Bernie puts his hand on the angry Scott's shoulder.
Why don't you go back to your hotel?
Because I'm not a bloody baby!
Scott knocks Bernie's hand away and stumbles backwards.
I just want a drink. That's all I want. I'm not hurting anyone.
You're going to get yourself into trouble. Come.
Yeah, right. No, look. I know where it is. It's just around the corner.
Bernie gives him a stern look.
That's why it's hard, isn't it? When you come home, it doesn't go, does it? Them things in there. Like... you never leave a man behind. Even if he's been a twat, you sweep him up and you take him out of danger. Yeah. I miss that.
Scott touches his chest.
British soldier, eh? All for one. And one for all.
I think that was a French soldier.
Arthur bends double.
Watch out.
Come on, now.
You done?
Back on the boat.
Well, we started earlier than you. Like the Second World War.
Don't bring that up again. It was a pleasure.
Back at the hotel room, both in their vest and pants.
You know, you should get a glass of water next year.
Oh, I will. Yeah, that's a good idea. Actually, I feel all right now. Well, nothing left to puke up, so it's the same thing. Oh, I've got you a ticket, by the way. It's the official thing in the arena. Starts at 11.
How'd you manage that?
I told you, the Americans. It's unbelievable. You're sitting just behind the Queen and President Obama.
Of course I am.
They both lie back in bed, Arthur with visible difficulty, and switch off the lights.
Anyway, night, Bernie.
Good night.
Thanks for looking after me. And Scott. I hope it didn't put a damper on your day.
Don't be silly. Happy to help. Good night.
Bernie's eyes remain open. He stares up at the ceiling. On board the lander, Douglas cowers at the front of the tank. They circle the vehicle and take cover behind it.
Oi! Have you got a smoke?
Douglas produces a cigarette tin.
No, not for me, for you! You!
It's a gun!
Bernie tries to light Douglas's cigarette. They cower and are soaked by sea spray.
What's your name?
Douglas.
Huh?
Douglas Bernie.
Well, I'm Bernie. Where are you from, Douglas?
Nottingham. I'm from Nottingham. Sherwood Rangers.
He points at his cap.
That's the same as these.
He holds up his tin.
Players. That's my girlfriend. She works in a factory.
Stand by!
The view shakes. Both men cower, grimacing and holding on to the tank. They move into slow motion. Douglas pulls a photo of a girl from the tin.
Yeah, that's her. She's what they call a player's angel.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, she's a cracker, ain't she?
What's that?
That's me letter. Riff a cop it.
Get him ready, Jordan! Go in here!
Hey, you're not going to need that letter, Douglas. You're like me. You're a survivor.
The two young men lock eyes.
Bernie!
Douglas's eyes flicker in and out.
Bernie!
The light comes on in the hotel bedroom.
Bernie?
And finds Bernie standing by the mirror.
What's going on?
It's okay. Here. Just come back to bed. It's okay.
Bernie slumps down, disorientated.
Was I saying anything?
No, I just heard a noise and I looked over and... Oh. And there you were. Oh. Does it happen often?
Well, yeah, but only from time to time.
Oh. My brother used to sleepwalk. Started at prep school, horrible place. But that's what did it.
Do you do it?
No. I like a light.
Well, you should get back to it. Crisis averted.
No, that's all right. I mean, I'm happy to sit up for a bit. I might have an aspirin, as a matter of fact.
Arthur slumps down on his bed.
I shouldn't drink at all, you know.
No. Are you on medication? I rattle.
No. I'm an alcoholic. I'm sorry, that's a bit da-da, but there. You have it, it's the reason I'm here. My liver is shot, so I won't be able to do the 75th anniversary, that's for sure, so it was now or never.
I had no idea.
Well, you wouldn't. I'm good at hiding it some of the time. Do you know Charles Causley? He's a war poet.
No, you know I don't know Charles Causley.
Well, he served. He was Navy, like you, so he knew what he was talking about. Anyway, he wrote this verse called At the British War Cemetery, Bayeux. It's all about the graveyard just up the road. Bayeux. You must know that place.
I've heard of it.
There are almost 5,000 dead in there. All British. Nearly all of them killed during the D-Day landings, including my brother.
Bernie straightens slightly, giving his full attention.
The irony is that he wasn't lost in combat. No, he was RAF, same as me, and he was shot down over Essen a couple of months before, and I assumed he was dead, but he'd bailed out and he'd linked up with the resistance. He was on his way home to England, and he was holed up in Caen when I nipped across and flattened it.
Christ.
Killed about 3,000 in all. Civilians, those on the ground. I often wondered if it was one of mine that did for Clive. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you this, Bernie, is that I've never been to his grave. Oh, I wasn't able to for whatever reason, but that was the plan. This afternoon, I was finally going to go and pay my respects. But I didn't. I stayed in town and I got pissed instead.
Bernie's expression is mournful.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't burden you with my tawdry tales. It's just that it's just every now and again I meet someone and they make me think that maybe I could be different. Maybe I could wrestle my demons too, except you have to be brave to do that.
Bernie turns away, clamps his eyes shut tight, wrestling with his own demons. An alarm clock on a bedside table in a dark bedroom shows 4:15. Reenie reaches over to switch it off. She slumps back onto the bed for a moment, then sits up and throws back the covers. Dawn light peeps through a crack in the curtains. Sitting on the side of the bed, Reenie puts her slippers on, stands, and stretches, flapping her arms against her long white nightie. Then shuffling through to the dark living room. Pausing in the doorway, then heading towards the double doors leading to the balcony. A flashback to their youth.
We're nearly there, I promise.
Light peeps through slits.
No peeking. I said no peeking.
I'm not.
Be careful.
A glimpse of Bernie's uniform.
Right. Now you can look.
The forested hills of rural England stretch out below, illuminated by the golden haze of dawn.
Yeah, it's called the Holy Hour. The light is just, like, different to any other time of day. Normally you just sleep right through it.
A yellow swell above the treetops. Clouds glow orange, then fade to purple.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
She is enchanted by the view, then looking over to Bernie, sees him enchanted by her. She steps past him with a shy smile. And picks a small pink flower from a bush.
What?
Oh, it's a dog rose. I love them. They're gorgeous.
Oh, yeah?
He looks between her face and the flower in her hand. She steps away again.
What?
It's limited, isn't it? Your knowledge of the natural world.
She stops by the trunk of a tree.
All right. Well, you've got to appreciate, I'd never seen a stat before I got posted down here. But I'm learning. Like that.
He indicates the flower in her hand.
I'll never forget it now.
Then steps in close.
Especially as a rose is my favourite flower. Because it's dead English.
He takes it from her.
Now, my favourite animal...
Let me guess.
She turns away with a smile and circles the trunk.
It's a dog.
I love it.
So do I. Which do you like best?
I couldn't tell you. You'll only think it's dead Ponty.
It's a poodle. You like poodles.
So? I mean, they're ever so clever. Now, my auntie had one that could count. And, well, they don't get any hairs on the settee. Plus, if you're going on the bus, they're the perfect size so you can...
She silences him with a passionate kiss. Their faces part, and their smiles fade, stunned by the moment. Then he runs his fingers through her hair and kisses her hungrily again. Backed up against the tree trunk, she pulls him in close. He slips off her cardigan. Her chest is heaving. Now free of the garment, her arms swing up and around his neck. And he lifts her off the ground. He stares into her eyes and nuzzles her nose with his. Then they turn and fall out of the view. Down on the ground, he lays her back against the dry earth. Her breath heavy, she caresses his face. And he leans down and kisses her neck. Flash forward to present day. And stood before the open curtains. Reenie opens her eyes, the dawn illuminating a sense of wonder on her face. As the shadows fall in the room, a heavy breath escapes and the view turns to a sky of liquid gold, tarnished by mottled clouds over a near-still ocean. Reenie looks down. She's holding the dog rose in both hands, pressed and taped to a piece of card. She looks up at the dawn again, biting her lip. and holds the dog rose to her chest, trembling with emotion. Elsewhere, crumpled bedclothes, two single beds, the sheets pulled back in one of them, and in the other, Arthur, fast asleep. Bernie is hovering in the doorway, peeking through. He's fully clothed already. He begins to unwrap the newspaper from the small square packet. He's wearing a blue shirt, dark blue trousers, and braces. He sets the brown newspaper aside and looks down at the square cigarette tin, Player's Navy Cut, emblazoned on a life ring about the bust of a sailor. He glances into the bedroom, then continues to examine it. The male nurse, Martin, is setting up Reenie's breakfast tray. Adele is in the kitchenette, and Reenie is doing her hair at the dresser.
Morning, Reenie. Your breakfast is ready.
I'm coming.
She's wearing a sky blue cardigan and top. She plumps her hair in a self-mocking fashion.
Oh, my Lord, I'm in Piccadilly Circus.
Good morning to you too.
You haven't seen what I have just seen. You should put some money aside, Adele, for plastic surgery. That's my advice, generally.
It's his there as well.
Thank you.
Sat in her chair, Reenie notices the television.
What's this?
Oh, sorry, it was on earlier. It's a special programme, All the Beaches. That one.
Oh.
That's the one Bernie's at. That's the main one, that.
Never.
Hey, you might spot him on the telly, Reenie. There he is. Still got it.
A veteran greets a well-wisher and lifts up his leg. The beaches are crowded and units are on parade. Bernie, in his coat and hat, wearing a lanyard, stands at the entrance to a white marquee. A formation of jets fans out in the sky, streaming red, white and blue exhaust. They're on Reenie's TV.
I knew it would be big. It is the 70th, but not this big.
Of course it is. People love the war, looking back.
And the Queen's there. There's always an interest wherever she goes.
Well, of course there is.
I'll get you a top-up.
President Obama greets President Hollande before a teeming grandstand. Then...
Turn it up.
Bernie is on the TV.
For some form of official recognition. After it emerged that the D-Day veteran was so determined to honour...
You've seen it? Turn on the telly. It's on, we've got it.
...into his own hands and had mounted what has now been dubbed the Great Escape.
Escape?
Well done, Bernie Jordan.
What can you tell us, Joe?
Hi, Laura. Well, just that having been informed that he couldn't go on an organised trip yesterday morning, while most of his fellow residents here at the Pines Care Home in Hove were still fast asleep...
Sure.
Everyone's going to love this.
...of the building and made a break
for the coast. And then relying on taxi, ferry...
He's a hero, really. An actual hero.
Really?
Have you seen this?
Arrived in France.
He's not bothering the French now.
Edith enters clutching the Daily Mail.
A salutary lesson to the rest of us, I think. There are 90-year-olds re-storming the beaches of Normandy.
Joe? Exactly where he is, Laura, nobody's quite sure. But what everyone is certain of is that in Bernard Jordan, the world has discovered one old soldier who will never fail to answer the call of duty. What a great story.
Absolutely.
Judith, Martin and Adele watch with smiles. Reenie looks shocked. Back at the marquee, Bernie looks uncomfortable. He grabs his lanyard, flapping in the wind, and examines it, heaving a long sigh. Then he catches sight of Arthur in the distance, over by the portaloos, searching, then catching sight of Bernie and waving. Bernie looks even more unsure of himself, but he shrugs and walks forward.
Sorry, I've got a prostate the size of a bloody space hopper.
We can't do this, Arthur. We have to go to Bayeux.
No, I've said I can't, even if you're with me.
I have to.
I don't understand.
I have to go, and you have to come with me.
Bernie turns his rollator around before the gawping Arthur and walks away from the festivities. Soon, Arthur is peering through the window of a parked taxi.
Gentlemen, the ceremony will begin in 15 minutes. Please make your way to the
They'll all be in the arena, I'll bet.
Right. Come on.
Bernie and Arthur are in a bar. The barman makes a telephone call.
No. Merci, Antoine. Super. Ouais, c'est ça. Ciao.
He would be delighted to drive you.
Terrific.
And we'll be here shortly.
Did he say how much?
Oh, no, his pleasure.
Oh, merci, merci, wow. Mille fois.
He serves them both a beer.
Et voilà.
Thank you.
Hey, Maurice, you got that other round set up for me? And don't let these guys pay this time, huh?
Of course, monsieur. I'll bring them over to you.
Hello. Who are these people?
A nearby table of out-of-uniform veterans.
They're Germans.
What are they doing here?
Oh, same as you guys, I guess. To honor their fallen comrades.
Oh. Were they on the beach on D-Day?
Heinrich was. Gunther was on Juno, same as Jans. And the other three defended Omaha.
Do you think I could talk to them?
Arthur looks incredulously at Bernie.
They won't think I'm rude, will they?
The middle-aged American leads them to the table.
Arthur. Bernard.
Bitte.
Sie waren an den Landungen beteiligt. Sie wollten Hallo sagen.
How do you do?
Bernie takes a seat. Arthur reluctantly follows.
It's good to meet you.
The Germans bow their heads.
Sie an dem Landungsstrand angekommen. Waren Sie in der Armee?
He wants to know what you both did.
Me, Royal Navy, he's Royal Air Force. And it was you that was here, Heinrich. This was your beach.
Yeah.
Sword.
Sword.
Me too.
The two men lock eyes. Heinrich's jaw clenches, his eyes uncertain. Bernie regards him calmly with a smile. Heinrich's eyes glaze. His lip trembles. He hangs his head and shudders, watched by his uneasy comrades. Bernie leans forward and places his hand atop the other man's. Heinrich clasps it with his other hand, takes a deep breath, and looks up at Bernie.
Can you tell him?
He holds up his lanyard.
I want him to have this ticket. You should go and sit in there. Tell him he should do that.
I möchte das ist ein Ticket für die... Veranstalter haben.
Have you got yours, Arthur?
Arthur pulls his from his inside jacket pocket.
We've only got two, but they are the best seats in the house.
He places them on the table before Heinrich. Heinrich clasps them, then gets up out of his seat and salutes stiffly. Followed by all the other Germans, then Arthur, and finally Bernie. They all salute. Soon they are in a rickety old blue hatchback, driving along a country road. A road sign reads Bayer 35. The road cuts through fields, a church rising above trees in the distance. Bernie and Arthur sit in the back seat. Arthur is mumbling to himself.
I walked.
Bernie glances over at him, then heaves a sigh.
I walked wherein?
Rini has stood before the net curtains hanging over the balcony.
Yeah.
Oh. Adele enters.
Are you okay?
Oh.
I've been worrying. All the fuss and that.
Fuss? Is that what you think this is? Nobody actually knows if he's all right or where he is even.
Really?
It was between me and him. That's how it's always been where the war is concerned. It's our business. Now, That's letting everybody in. And that's just asking for trouble. You have to keep your head down. Your eyes straight ahead. Or bad things happen.
Flashback. And Rini is working in a wartime munitions factory, decanting ball bearings from a tin.
Hi, Rini.
Rini smiles at her co-worker, but then her smile fades as a uniformed police officer and another man walk into the factory. They pass her, and she breathes a sigh of relief, then turns to see the men's destination. The view of the rest of the factory is a blur. Troubled, Rini returns to her work. Glancing over at her distraught colleague, chest heaving and eyes awry. Suddenly, she turns and runs for the door. Out into the yard of the brick building. Pulling off her overalls as she runs. Passing a soldier, loading munitions crates. Sprinting out into a field. Long grasses whipping at her legs. Ominous grey clouds covering the sky. She looks up, mouth agape, as a formation of bombers crosses the sky. A dozen silhouettes, broad wings and four engines each, flying in a V beneath the thick cloud cover. The view pans down to the sea surface, and in the distance, smoke is rising on the horizon. Brow furrowed, mouth agape, Rini watches in horror, until she steadies herself, her expression hardening. She sees bright flashes on the horizon. Her blue eyes glaze. She loses her composure. She grimaces, fighting back tears. Then turns and marches back to the factory, framed against the distant cliffs of the shoreline falling down to the sea. Sat in her armchair, present-day Rini's eyes snap open, a fearful expression growing on her face.
I waved him off. Let him go. When what I should have said was, you are not getting on that ship, Bernard Jordan. You are not. And then I did it again.
She throws her head back, watched by a compassionate Adele. At the Bayer Cemetery, bright sunshine and Bernie's rollator wheeling down green grass between lines of white headstones. Sunlight flares about Bernie's silhouette. Hundreds of white waist-high headstones arranged in neat rows. Arthur and another old man are wandering through them, searching.
I won't wear in there. They're talking graves and shirts of earth. 5,000 lay. When history... When history... History with 10 feasts of fire. Had eaten... Red air away.
Arthur bites his fist, shakes it, then kneels before a gravestone. Each is engraved with an encircled insignia, the identity of the dead, then a cross or star for religion. The wheels of Bernie's rollator pause and turn, and a guilty fear crosses Bernie's face. Flashback. Douglas is climbing down from the turret of a tank.
Bernie! Bernie, mate, I need a favour!
What are you doing?
I've had a thought! What if I drown?
What?
I could drown, and then I'm stuffed, aren't I? And that's if they find me. I mean, I could get washed out to sea!
White smoke exhausts as the tank's engine starts.
Just get back in the bloody tank!
Take it, will you? Just in case!
He holds out the cigarette tin to Bernie.
Bernie, please! Just take it!
Douglas's eyes fixed, pleading on Bernie, who hesitates, overcome, then takes the tin from him.
The address is on the top of the letter. and her name is Vera.
Bernie looks down at the tin in his hand, a curtain of seawater raining down about him, Douglas's boots climbing up the slick metal of the tank to the turret.
And Bernie! If you do have to, you know, send the letter!
Get it ready, Jordan!
I told you, you're coming back!
Tell Vera!
I told you!
She was fucking spectacular!
Douglas disappears inside the tank. Bernie stares up at it, face contorted. Present-day Bernie pulls off his cap.
Hello, Douglas.
The headstone is engraved, D. Bennett, the Nottinghamshire Yeomanry Royal Armoured Corps, 6th of June, 1944. Bernie looks down at it, sobbing.
I'm so sorry.
He stares up at the clear blue sky.
What a waste. Hey. What a waste.
He says over his shoulder to the approaching Arthur. The view flies back over the headstones. Each block, 10 rows and 10 columns, 3 blocks across. The view pulling back further. Bulbous trees of bright red leaves, and yet more blocks of headstones.
What is it, Bernie?
Back at the hotel, Bernie looks up.
What's wrong?
I'm fine. Mission accomplished.
Right. Do you like to get some lunch?
Arthur switches off the TV where the Queen was greeting veterans.
What do you want to do now?
Bernie looks up at Arthur, then gets up out of his chair.
I want to go home and see my girl.
Plus ça change.
What's that mean?
I don't suppose we'll see each other again.
What about the other side?
Well, that's absolute bollocks, Bernie, you know that. It's been an honour. An absolute honour.
Likewise.
Arthur steps forward. They take hold of each other's hand, then enter into an embrace. They smile warmly for each other. Bernie is leaving the hotel.
Bernie!
Scott trots up.
I've given up finding you.
What you doing?
I've got something I want you to have.
What is it?
It's a croissant.
A what?
A croissant. They're like the national dish of France.
He opens a paper bag.
Well, I looked a lot better earlier. I wanted to apologise for how I behaved last night. Honest, I don't know what came over me.
Why? Really? You're young. Forget it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bernie. Because, listen, you're an inspiration to me. Everything you've done, the way you conduct yourself. There's people like you that make me feel properly proud and honoured to be part...
Stop it. All right? Stop saying stuff like that. Just get some help. Because I know what you're going through, Scott. And I don't want nothing bad to happen to you. But right now, you're a fucking mess. Hmm?
Bernie walks on. Scott sniffs and wipes his nose and watches him depart. He looks fearful and guilty, then turns and shuffles off in the opposite direction. Reporters gather beneath Reenie's window.
Get.
She shakes her walking stick at them.
She
then turns back into the bedroom.
Oh.
And on her abdomen, she slumps forward, supporting herself on a table that bears an unfinished jigsaw puzzle stood at the end of Bernie's bed. After pausing, she crosses from it to the end of her bed, searching a tray of medical things there.
Oh.
Shaking an empty bottle of pills, then staggering with difficulty over towards a red pull cord alarm. She pulls the cord, looking weak. then turns back to her bed. Slumping down upon it. Hands shaking, she reaches for a bottle of pills on her bedside table. Adele flies down the corridor and bursts through Reenie's front door into the bedroom.
Reenie.
Reenie sits bent double on the bed.
Reenie.
I'm okay. I just couldn't find my pills.
Do you need the doctor?
No, no. It's going. I mean, the pills are very good. Just couldn't find them. Sorry.
You got to stop having these turns, Reenie. Well, at least have them when someone else is around, eh?
Oh, well, thank you so much. I will.
Exhausted, Reenie swings her head round and finds Adele staring at her with concern.
How long have you got?
You're much too clever to be working here, you know.
Seriously, Reenie, just tell me. What have they said?
Don't start reading long books.
Stop joking about it. It ain't funny. Why do you keep joking?
Come on, I've had a very good life.
Well, yeah, but...
No buts. At your age, Adele, you cling to every second. And every second is worth clinging to. Generally. But at my age, oh... Yeah, basically buggered. But you, you're like a piece of ripe fruit.
I don't care. I knew it. I knew as soon as you started getting all that stuff out, I knew there was something.
Oh, come on. Everyone does tidying up.
Adele takes a seat on the other side of Reenie's bed.
What's Bernie say?
He doesn't know, but I'm not telling him. And you're not telling him either.
What? But it's Bernie. You can't not tell him.
Why not? There's nothing he can do. He'd be heartbroken to know I was going before him. I am not telling Bernie.
She gives Adele a very stern look. Adele looks emotional. She leans forward and hugs Reenie.
Oh...
Burying her face in Reenie's shoulder. Reenie rubbing hers. Bernie shuffles into the ferry terminal, passing the information desk. He appears to be in a somber mood. A woman in a plum suit spots him and speaks into a radio.
I found him.
She hurries out from behind the desk to greet him.
Hi. Excuse me, are you Bernard Jordan?
Yes. Why? Is there a problem?
No, not at all. I'm pleased to meet you. I'm Sandy. I'm the chief press officer, P&O Ferries.
Oh, hello, Sandy.
We've been searching...
Bloody hell.
Bernie is on the front page.
What's this?
Of every paper on the stands.
No, come on, guys, please, no photos.
What's going on?
Sandy takes Bernie to the duty-free.
Voilà, monsieur, un saucisson.
Oh, sausage. Thank you.
Et voilà, monsieur.
A chef serves him a fish and chip supper.
Bon appétit.
Thank you. Bottle of rum. Blimey.
Reenie?
Judith walks in.
Reenie, they've found him. He's on a ferry back from France.
Thank you.
She bumps fists with Adele.
No!
A press conference.
Bernie, what are you going to say to your wife?
Give me a kiss or I'll go away again.
Please smile.
Bernie is photographed in a life ring and with three female P&O staff. All smiling, then laughing. Bernie gives a salute on deck. Behind him, the staff all salute from the deck above.
Now, where else can we go?
Sandy picks out a giant Dairy Milk. The light is beginning to fade as Bernie, in the back of a car, is driven along the seafront in England. He examines his recent haul of goods and gives a big sigh. Reenie is sitting at her dresser, putting on her earrings. She's done her makeup and fixed her hair into a careful sweep. She finishes it with a comb. In the back of the car, Bernie pulls off his hat, looking tired. Plunking it down, then straightening his own hair. He stares down the road, then shakes his head at the absurdity.
Fuck it.
flashback to the press conference, and Bernie forcing a smile for the cameras, cutting back to his self-deprecating expression in the car. Arriving at the Pines, the drive is crowded with press. Bernie rolls his eyes. The other residents wave Union Jack flags at the entrance. Judith opens the car door and the newsreader is straight on him.
How does it feel to be back?
Great. He's greeted by Judith, then Martin and Adele.
How was it to be in France?
Just a note, please. Next time, a note.
Hey, mate. You did it. I'll kill you if you do it again.
Welcome back, Bernie. She's waiting for you.
Thanks.
Welcome back.
Come on, Bernie!
Still at the dresser, Rini shuts her hand mirror. Bernie is climbing up the stairs, crossing the threshold into the corridor. And reflected in the corridor mirror, he approaches the front door, steps onto the welcome mat, and opens it, grabbing a hold of the handrail. He pushes the living room door open with his stick. At the dresser, Rini turns around expectantly. Bernie sets down his now very full blue plastic bag. The view pans across a chest of drawers laden with ornaments to look into the living room. Bernie throws his coat onto a tall bar chair. Rini is standing in the bedroom door. She watches with a worried expression as he leans on the back of the chair.
Bernie, what is it? What's the matter?
I'm sorry, Rini.
What?
I rolled over, really. It's like Fifi, you know? Then I went on my back. Then help yourself. You know, I've been in the papers, I've been on TV, the Cheeky Chappy, the Great Escaper.
Yes, I have seen it all.
A 90-year-old coffin dodger honours the glorious dead.
Bernie, what is it?
The truth. Telling the truth. Because people don't. All they want is a happy ending. Look at us. Here. Grabbing the grip, pulling the bloody cord. All those poor old buggers outside.
He takes a seat.
That's the truth. That's what old age looks like. And there's no escape. Not for anyone. Ever.
What happened to you in France?
What?
Tell me.
Rini sits down beside him on the sofa. She watches with concern as he searches for words.
I went to see this lad.
Flashes of Douglas's intense look.
Where he is buried, Douglas. Douglas Bennett.
Jordan!
Bernie is at the ramp controls. He cranes his neck about the bulkhead and watches the lamp lower. Flashes of light as bullets ricochet off the side of the tanks. Bernie grimaces and cowers. The tracks of the tank spin on the wet deck as it thunders towards the ramp. Another tank follows. He shouts into the communication tube.
I'm only cargo!
High up in the control tower, the officers look down on the formation of six tanks, rumbling onto the beach.
Get them ready, Bert! Stand by!
Go on.
Bernie watches Douglas's tank.
Go on, you daft bugger.
It picks its way through lines of Czech hedgehog anti-tank obstacles. A massive explosion rocks the tank in a burst of flame and black sand. Bernie watches through binoculars as the hatch on the turret swings open. Douglas, coughing, wreathed in smoke, staring back across the beach towards the lander. Then, reflected in the lens of each of Bernie's binoculars, fire.
Bang. Gone. That's the truth. He trusted me. I said he'd be all right. He got killed.
because I made him get off the boat.
Reenie's expression is tender. Young Bernie stares in horror. Old Bernie's lip trembles. Finally, Reenie blinks and shakes her head.
When you came home, Bernie, you were wound so tight. You had something inside you. I thought you'd tell me what it was, but you never did. And I wasn't going to ask. I thought, if I even touch him, he'll shatter, and that'll be the end of us. A life without you? I couldn't even consider that. You've loved me for 70 years. You've spent every ounce of your good luck building a marriage with me. And that's what it was, Bernie. It was your good luck that got you through the war. And Douglas's bad luck not to. It wasn't your fault he was killed on the beach. It wasn't then, and it isn't now. And that is the truth.
Bernie is sobbing.
And I'll tell you this. We have never wasted one second of our time together. All right. We've only done normal, little, everyday things. But by God, we did them well. And we still do. Oh.
She reaches up to wipe a tear from his cheek. Then pulls him into an embrace. A concrete shelter with four benches separates the road from the seafront path.
Hey,
great
job, over there! Oh, you're going to catch it, though.
Honestly, look.
Bernie wheels Reenie into view.
Oh, hello, beautiful dog. Hello, Edward.
Brings back memories, doesn't it?
Yeah. We're too old to get another dog.
We are certainly too old. You know, we can't get a poodle anymore.
No, but they poo all over the place.
Will you please?
Well, they're called bleeding poodles.
Why do I encourage you?
Six.
The cyclists are downing bottles of beer. Bernie and Reenie are also finishing drinks.
We should get back.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
The D-Day banner and bunting are still up.
Do you want an ice cream?
No, I've got chocolate up in the room.
Oh.
And it's oversized.
Oh.
And I've got you.
Yes.
A sausage.
Oh, looky, looky me.
The cyclists have locked their bikes to the railing. Bernie and Reenie, sat in her wheelchair, are on the other side by the road. Bernie uncaps one of the tube valves on the bike and lets the tyre down.
Bernie.
Tossers.
Light is fading as they return to the pines. The view pans from the signpost up the drive and Bernie wheeling Reenie up to the front door. Adele comes down the steps to greet them. Adele smiles as Reenie reaches back to clasp Bernie's hand.
Ooh. Look who's waiting.
Right.
Hello.
She looks at the watch pinned to her uniform.
Bless your heart.
Later, in the living room, Bernie is staring out the double doors, where a full moon hangs over silver clouds in a dark evening sky. He raises his wrist and looks at his own watch. It's midnight on the dot. The view pans down from a night sky past copper-coloured trees to a forest of white headstones standing in neat rows. Past the inscription that reads D. Bennett, to the base of his headstone, where sits the player's navy-cut cigarette tin.
Are you coming to bed?
Bernie turns slowly about to see Reenie stood in the bedroom door.
Yours or mine?
Ooh.
He beams a cheeky grin. On the bedroom wall are two framed floral illustrations hanging side by side. Beneath them, the two beds have been pushed together. Bernie looks deep in thought. Reenie leans over to kiss his forehead, then gazes into his eyes. He pulls her head gently towards him, and they kiss. She rests her head near his shoulder, and with a smile, he leans over to turn out the bedside light. The alarm clock on the bedside table now reads 4:15, but both Bernie and Reenie's beds are empty. The view moves through their empty apartment. By the seafront, an orange glow in the sky. Waves rolling into the shore past the short pier, the wind tussling Reenie's grey hair, and Bernie stood beside her, gazing out to sea. Then turning to look at her, and she turns to look at him. Flashback to Reenie gazing out over rural England, then looking at Bernie beside her in his sailor's uniform, his face lit by the golden light of dawn. Elderly Bernie's hand is on the railing, and Reenie places hers atop his.
If you ever, ever go away again, I'm coming with you.
Reenie looks emotional, as does Bernie. He nods and smiles. And holding hands, they both turn to look at the amazing orange light, illuminating puffy clouds that extend out to the horizon to touch the sea. A caption appears, Bernie Jordan died 6 months after his trip to France. Reenie went with him 7 days later. Slow fade to black. The title fades in. The Great Escaper. Michael Caine. Glenda Jackson. And John Standing. Danielle Vitalis, Victor Oshin, Will Fletcher, Laura Marcus, Elliot Norman. Directed by Oliver Parker. Written by William Ivory. Produced by Robert Bernstein, Douglas Ray. Executive producers Cameron McCracken, Eva Yates. Co-producer Filmgate Films, Sean Whelan. Co-producer Film E. Vost, Christina Burjesson. Co-producer Ecos Films, Rob Darnell. Co-producer Tim Dennison. Director of Photography, Christopher Ross, BSc. Editor, Paul Tothill, ACE. Production designer, Nicholas Palmer. Costume designer, Emma Fryer. Makeup and hair designer, Jacqueline Fowler. Post-production supervisor, Nadia Luthra. Original music by Craig Armstrong. Sound mixer, Mark Holding, AMPS. Casting by Lauren Evans. The rolling credits. First Assistant Director Paul Murphy. Production Manager Anna Jurek. Production Accountant Matt Grayston. Location Manager David Britton. Script Supervisor Susanna Binding. Visual Effects Supervisors Martin Malmquist. Christian Lundvall. First Assistant Editor Tony Trumpetto. Supervising Sound Editor Jack Wensley. Sound Designer and Re-recording Mixer Ben Baird, CAS. Digital colorist, Finley Reed. Cast, in order of appearance. Bernie Jordan, Michael Caine. Cyclists, Graham Dorling, Miles Olofin, Daniel Haid. Edith, Anne Queensbury. Adele, Danielle Vitalis. Reenie Jordan, Glenda Jackson. Judith Cook, Jackie Clune. Scott Selwood, Victor Oshin. Martin Roberts, Brennan Rees. The Candy Girls, Elkie Christine Jeffery, Deborah Rose Watt, Freya Jane Barter, Young Bernie, Will Fletcher, Douglas Bennett, Elliot Norman, Arthur Howard Johnson, John Standing, Young Reenie, Laura Marcus, Band Leader, Paul Bigley, Swing Singer, Isabella Domville, Dr. Saunders, Jeffrey Lum, Police Sergeant, Dan Fredenberg, Police Officer Robert, Stephen Leesk, Police Officer Vicky, Carlis Pia, Little Old French Lady, Valerie Saouf, French Waiter, Christian Thompson, LCT Commander Parker, Ian Conningham, Female TV Announcer, Siobhan Harrison, Male TV Announcer, Simon Darwin, Reporter, Borna Borsa, Maurice Patron, Alex Scarbeck, Nathan, Donald Sage Mackay, Heinrich, Wolf Carla, Factory Girl, Hope Jones, Sandy, Iman Zafrani, Bernie Double, Norman McDonald, Stunt Coordinator, Andy Bennett, Intimacy Coordinator, Sarah Green, Military Advisor, Paul Biddis, Accent and Dialect Coach, Nia Lin, Choreographer, Sarah Green, Second Assistant Director, James R. Kipping, Third Assistant Director, Callum J. Hunter, Floor Runners, Manny Panu, Zoe Law, Stand-in, Severine O'Carroll, Assistant Script Supervisor, Selena Welsh, Daily Script Supervisor, Helena Jung, Crowd Second Assistant Director, Scott Claydon, Crowd Third Assistant Directors, Freddie Lovett, Cameron Russell, Daily Floor Runners, Jordan Neagle, Amy Parak, Crowd PAs, Lauren Johnson Margetson, Lily Hood, Sophia Ferrara, Ollie Douglas, Charlie Digby, Dara Adeyemi, Production Coordinator, Celine Ribard, Assistant Production Coordinator, Lauren Alexander, Production Secretary, Poppy Hanna, Production Runner, Connor McCluskey, Screen Skills Production Trainees, Paul Riley, David G. Grove, Drivers to Michael Caine, Tamas Borsos, Ian Benford, Chaperones, Mark Charlesworth, Maisie Weston, etc. until copyright Pathé Productions Limited and British Broadcasting Corporation, 2023. Audio description written, read and recorded by Matt Jarman at Bad Princess Productions, London, for Arrow Film.